If you would, please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew in chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. In just a moment, we'll begin reading at the 25th verse. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 25. And you may remember from past visits to this passage that it concerns the matter of worry and anxiety, the futility and the folly of that, and the need to put our trust in God. And if you get the idea sometimes that I have a lot to say about worry, it's because the Bible has a lot to say about worry. And also, it's a fact that so many of us do a lot of it. And we do our best not to. We try to talk ourselves out of it. But it's so easy for anxiety to seep into our minds at our most vulnerable moments and attack us in ways we're unprepared for. And sometimes, in these surprise attacks, take us off of the path we need to be on. And so I make no apology for bringing us back one more time to this interesting and sometimes disturbing subject of worry. Therefore I say to you, and Jesus here is speaking, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, I'd have you notice, if you have your Bible still open, some phrases that come up along the reading we just had, which are all on the same line of thought. Look at verse 26. And the last of that verse, which says, are you not of more value than they? And then in verse 30. Will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Verse 32, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And verse 33, all these things shall be added to you. In contrast to the angst and anxiety that seems to permeate this text, those that Christ speaks of who are so captivated by anxious thoughts concerning the most basic elements of life, like whether they'll have enough or what they will eat, or whether they'll have enough or have anything to drink, or whether they can have clothes to clothe themselves with. It's hard to find things more elemental, more basic, more fundamental to our need structure than these, food and drink and clothing. And yet, In contrast to all that anxiety, Jesus reminds us time and time again, God takes care of lesser creatures. Won't he take care of you? God clothes the lilies of the field. Those flowers which today they thrive and tomorrow we just throw them into the oven. Doesn't he care much more for you? In point of fact, if we just seek first the kingdom of God, if we put him first, if we, instead of worrying about the future and finding our minds captivated by what might be, what could happen, what our imagination provides for us, if we put that aside and instead seek first the kingdom, well, God will take care of all those things we otherwise would have been worrying about. And I say that just to show you here in this text we're so familiar with, that seems to be so much about worry, and it is, really is about provision. Yes, the problem is our worry, but the solution is God's provision. He has always taken care of his own. If he hadn't seen his own past a situation, he's seen his own through a situation. If he hasn't seen you past your problems, he's seen you through your problems. But he's with you all the way, and he's always taken care of his creation. Have you ever thought when you drive by and see all the... We've got a power line that is close to our house. We turn off the highway onto Elm Street there, and there lining the power line are hundreds. Could it be thousands? Could it be millions? No, it's not millions. That's ridiculous. But it's a lot of birds all lined up one after the other, and they just go... It seems like forever. And I've thought to myself a time or two, those birds, where'd they come from and where are they going? And when it gets cold, where do they go? And what's their life really like? They seem to be happy. They're sometimes singing. Where are they going to eat tomorrow? Well, they don't think about that. How long are they going to live? They don't think about that. And you might think, and you're right to think this, well, they can't because God made them with a brain the size of a pea and they just can't really think about those things. That may be more blessing than not, because we have brains bigger than the size of a pea, and we misuse our brains so often in being completely captivated by the might be and could be and what ifs of the future. And Jesus says, well, God takes care of those birds. Somehow, the next day, they have enough to eat to sustain themselves for one more day. And when their time comes to leave this earth, they do. They have their cycle of life just like all of living creatures do. But God takes care of them. And they get by somehow without all the worry that so captivates us. What's true for birds is true for lilies, it's true for grass, it's true for everything God has made. He takes care of his own. And back of all of this worry is the fact God has always provided. And he always will. You might open your songbook with me to a song that I didn't know until we came over here. Number 600, Don taught it to me. I never had heard it before. But it's become one of my favorites. God leads his dear children along. And when you think about it, that's a kind of everything that this passage we've just read is trying to get across to us. You know, we're upset and we are anxious and we are worried about what the future might hold, what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to put on, what the stock market is going to do, what the government is going to decide for us, where the world is going, and everything's out of control. And all the while, God has desired to lead his dear children along if we'll just allow him to do so by being submissive and full of faith. Number 600. In shady green pastures so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the water's cool flow bathes the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Sometimes in the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley in darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Though sorrows befall us and evils oppose, God leads his dear children along. Through grace we can conquer, defeat all our foes. God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. And notice verse number 2, if you would. Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley, in darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. You couldn't find two more extreme situations in our life than these words describe. The mount where the sun shines so bright, everything is going well. The world seems to be at our disposal to do what we wish and want. Everything is going so nicely. Well, God's right there with us. But then the opposite of that, as every life has its downs, its upsets, its difficulties, we have those times, as a song says, of our being in the valley of the darkness. And the same God who is with us in the good times is with us in the bad. He doesn't move. It's us sometimes that move in terms of our thinking, our minds, from him. He's always right there, if we'll allow him to be, by his word, by his providence, by his presence, by his help leading us along, good times or bad. And actually, that's the very thought, if you'll turn with me in your Bibles, the very thought of the most popular passage in the entire Bible, Psalm chapter 23. You might be thinking, and you'd be probably right, I don't have to turn there. I know this one. Well, I know you do, but pay attention one more time to the words I know all of us hold dear. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now look at the psalm we just read. You've got, as it were, on the mountain with the sun shining, the green pastures, the still waters, the paths of righteousness. Where is God as our shepherd? Right there with us. But then on the other hand, you've got the very valley of the shadow of death. You've got a situation where you're trying to eat and your enemies are right there. In terms of the sheep, the wolves are at bay and kept at bay because where's the shepherd? He's right there with the sheep. He's right there with us. And so whether we have green pastures or the very valley of the shadow of death, the constant here is God's provision. He's always there. Our situations change. Our life changes from day to day and season to season. But God stays constant for those of His own, as one, as we were just saying, who leads His dear children along. The only difference sometimes, as I mentioned before, is our thinking, our feeble thinking, where we're led astray by worry and anxiety. If we'll just realize the fact God is always there in good times or bad, and He's always helpful to us in good times or bad. 523 in your song books. 523. It's interesting how I find myself doing what I said I would never do when I got to the position I'm in, but here I am in it and doing it. Talking about the way things used to be and how different things are today than they used to be. I remember back when this was a song we sang at camp, and it was just basically a camp song. And I don't know, I can't read, when is it written here? 19, well, that explains a lot, doesn't it? 93 is copyrighted. But regardless of that, it goes back a ways. And you think, this is an old song. Well, it's not. And I'm sure that when we sang this at camp, there were people who came in from outside of camp that said, "These new songs, I just don't think they're going to catch on. They're not like the good old songs we sing." But looking back on it, this was my new song, and this was my camp song, and I can't sing it without thinking of those wonderful days at Green Valley Bible Camp in Rogers, Arkansas. But anyway, that's enough about me. Let's sing 523. I know the Lord will find a way for me. I know the Lord will find a way for me. If I walk in heaven's light, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will find a way for me. The Lord has said, go preach the word to all the world. The Lord has said, go preach the word to all the world. If I walk in heaven's light, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will find a way for me. Won't it be grand to hear Him say, well done? Won't it be grand to hear Him say, well done? If I walk in heaven's light, shun the wrong and do the right, won't it be grand to hear Him say, well done? And this goes to exactly what we're talking about this evening. We may not be able to find the way, but the Lord, in His providence, will find a way for us. And it behooves us to cast our burdens upon Him, to lean upon His everlasting arms, to trust Him for whatever comes next, knowing that in good times or bad, He'll be right there with us. And one last thought. I don't have any idea about this date of 1993, because I was singing this song at camp in the early 70s and late 60s. And I'm going to be, well, I won't be worried about it, but I will be thinking about it, how that came to be. But anyway, that's a puzzler for me. But that's not a puzzler for you. You may be here this evening and outside of Christ. If so, obey the gospel tonight. In faith and repentance, confession and baptism, come into the family of God. Or if as a child of God you've strayed and need to come back, no better time than now to do what you know you shouldn't come, as together we stand and sing.